morning. Let's turn to Matthew 11, and I will read verse 16 to 19. Matthew 11, 16 to 19. Verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak to us from out of it, that we may know more of who Jesus is. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. We saw yesterday that Jesus is our paradox. He is not only master, but he is servant. He's not only God, he is man. He was not only king, but he was our sacrifice. And Jesus calls us to live that paradox as well. The Lord Jesus tells us that in order to live, we need to die. In order to be greatest, we need to be the least. And we see here a great example of our Lord and Savior, that he was a friend. And God came down not to be friend of those who were lovely, but we see even Jesus himself. Maybe he was just repeating, but he here called himself a friend of publicans and sinners, which is what the Pharisees said of him. And so we want to consider how that affects us. You know, yes, we have many hymns and many songs that tell us to associate with good people, don't we? You know, you have that hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. It says there, make friends of God's children. Then you have the other hymn, Yield Not to Temptation, right, where it says you need to shun evil companions. And parents and the like will tell their kids, stay away from those who are bad, right? Don't be their friends. In that sense, we see it is true because the Bible says so. But often we are prone to judge based on the appearance, based on a person's behavior or his dressing, his speech, his social status, his education, right? In certain societies, you know, you marry someone or you marry off your child, you know, and you'll get matchmakers to consider, what is this person's background? You know, what is his family like? How educated they are? You know, how wealthy they are? How well-behaved and well-mannered they are? You know, one of the things that my wife and I like to do at times, when we have time, is to watch Jane Austen movies. We should actually be reading them, but sometimes we watch them. And we see, you know, in such social settings, who you marry, how much a person has, their behavior, their ability, you know, to perform certain, you know, whether they can draw, they can play the piano, they can do all these things. You know, these things are very important. And however, a person's character is not always examined, right? Now, or sometimes a person who may not have the genteelness is often rejected. Now, we learn in today's text that people in Jesus' time disapproved of Jesus' activities, and they especially disapproved of Jesus' companion. He was charged with gluttony, he was charged with drunkenness. Both charges, of course, were false, and he was labeled by his enemies as a friend of sinners. They held him in contempt. But were they right in attributing this to Jesus? Was he a friend of sinners? Now, a friend is someone that you are attached to, that you have affection, and you associate with him. And a sinner is one who breaks the law of God. And so how could God be a friend to someone who would break God's laws? So the Pharisees would often use this term sinner to refer to Gentiles or anyone that did not meet up to their standards. So to be a friend of sinners, Jesus would have had to show affection, he would have to show attachment, and he would have had to associate with those who broke the law of God. Now, who were these people that he offered his friendship to? And we learned that there were at least three kinds of people. And these were the three kinds of people, especially, that the Pharisees would have disapproved of. Now, the text clearly tells us that he was a friend of publicans, of tax collectors. And, you know, Jesus especially made friends with this fella called Levi. You know, he told Levi, who was still sitting at the tax collector's table, to come and follow him, and Levi left everything behind. Thereafter, Levi had this huge banquet to take all the money that he had perhaps stolen to give back to the community. He had this big feast, and there he also invited his tax collector's friends to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees, of course, they grumbled. They asked Jesus' disciples, why is it that your master would eat with sinners? And that is where Jesus uttered his famous words, those who are righteous, those who are not sick, have no need for a doctor, but those who are sick need a doctor. And Jesus had come to call sinners unto repentance. Now, we would know that these tax collectors are not like the agents of the ATO. Right? These were swindlers. They were employed by the Roman government not only to collect taxes, but they could swindle people out of more money. They are more akin to loan sharks today. And because they worked with the Romans, they committed treason. So the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with these people. They were scum. But here, Jesus was eating. He was drinking with them. He reached out to them. Now, the second group of people that Jesus associated with were the prostitutes. You know, in Luke 7, there was a woman who came to Jesus when he was having dinner in the house of a Pharisee, and they knew she was a prostitute because, you know, small town, everyone knows everything. And also, it was the way she dressed. She did not dress respectably. She dressed like a prostitute. And what happened is she took a bottle of perfume, she came behind him, and she cried, she washed his feet with her tears, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And she intended to pour that perfume all over his feet. And so this woman, as a prostitute, was considered promiscuous, adulterous, and someone that a person who is reputable would have nothing to do with. These were the evil companions that probably that hymn said we should shun. And these prostitutes were despised. They were hated by the Pharisees. And a Pharisee would not be found in the vicinity of a prostitute. And by obligation, by religious obligation, if a prostitute were to walk on the same street, the Pharisee would cross to the other side, and he would morally be obligated to denounce her publicly. You know, it was probably not for her benefit. It was probably for his benefit. And of course, a Pharisee would never, ever allow a prostitute to touch him. But here, we see that Jesus did not kick her. He did not push her away, but he allowed her to touch him. Not just to touch him, to touch his feet, which of course were not shod. It was a sensitive part of his body, an intimate part of his body. She used fluid from her body, right, to wash his feet. She used hair that men would have touched and fondled, right, to wipe his feet. And all that was considered dirty, which the Pharisees would have rejected straight away. Jesus allowed her to come into his presence and to touch him. Now, Jesus also associated with other sinners, such as, or the Pharisees would have considered them sinners, such as the Samaritan woman. All right? In John 4, he asked water from her, from the well, and we see even in John 4 how surprised she was. Wait, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You're talking to me? You're even asking me for water? Because the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. And religious Jews, if they wanted to go to Galilee from Jerusalem, they would actually take the long way around because they would not go through Samaria. Because the land itself was cursed. It was a place of these illegitimate people. And so they would go the long way around. But here, Jesus not only went through Samaria, he spoke to her. And he was willing to take a cup from her, which was very likely used by her, having her fluids and her spit and her handprints and the moisture from her dirty hands, and willing to drink from that. So was Jesus a friend of sinners? Absolutely. You bet he was. By association, by affection, by investment, he was a friend of sinners. And in fact, Jesus came to associate with them. He came not to associate with those who thought themselves righteous. And we see in Jesus' use of time, he preferred actually to be with these people than he did with the Pharisees. Well, what was Jesus like as a friend? Well, you can be sure that he was not a social media friend. He wouldn't unfriend people, right? Neither was he just a friend in good times. You know, when things are good, then you are a friend. When things change, then you're not a friend anymore. And that is what we are like, because very often, what are we? We are righteous. We think that we are righteous. And that is why we are not friends as Jesus was. You know, when someone does something that we think is wrong, we unfriend them. And when things turn sour, we give up on a relationship. But Jesus was a friend of those who was unlovely. And this really goes again to who he absolutely was. That paradox. God, who is a friend of sinners. You know, only sinners are friends with sinners. You know, you only shun an evil companion because you're not evil. But God was a friend of sinners. And I suppose that should speak to us, because is Jesus our friend? And what does that make us? What does that remind us that we are? We are, when it comes down to it, unlovely. You know, Jesus associated with tax collectors, with Samaritans who are idolaters, with prostitutes who are adulterers. But are we not idolaters in our own right? Do we not play the whore in many things that we do? Right? Are we not like the tax collectors? You know, and very often we are like the Pharisees. But Jesus offered friendship to those in need. He showed friendship to those who needed him the most. And these were the ones who were most cut off from him. They were cut out of that church in the Old Testament. These were the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the Samaritans. You know, the Pharisee would pray towards the temple with his arms outstretched. But the tax collector, where was he? He was afar off, head bowed, not daring to look up. But these were the ones who were in the deepest need and the greatest need. And we see here, as a result of his friendship with them, Jesus suffered. His reputation suffered. You know, in John 9, when Jesus healed that blind man who was blind from birth, the Pharisees asked him, "Come now, tell the truth, right? We know that this man is a sinner." And what did the blind man say? "Well, you know, I only see what I saw. You know, God doesn't listen to those who don't worship him. He healed me." And as a result, the Pharisee said, "You dare to teach grandma how to suck eggs? Who are you?" Right? And so because of his association with Jesus, he also suffered. Jesus was frequently among such people, the dregs of society, and that's why he gained that name, the friend of sinners. And it was for them that he gave his life. The Bible tells us, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus is a paradox, and therefore we should also be. And when we remind ourselves that because he gave his life for us, and he gave his life for others in the church, those that we deem to be less worthy, those that we deem to be less lovable, those that may be slower to change, and those who may be rough around the edges, those who are prickly people, who are easily offended, soft inside, but prickly on the outside. Who are they? They're friends of Jesus. And because they are friends of Jesus, they are also our friends. So no matter how much they may have disappointed us, no matter how much they have hurt us, no matter how much humanly we despise them, they are our friends. And as we deny ourselves, they will become truly more and more our friends. Jesus is that paradox. So let us be. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, teach us how unlovely we are, and teach us how lovely Christ is, and how he deemed it worthy to spend time with us and to die for us. Father, show us how practically we may appropriate this message for our own lives, for our congregation, that we may truly be not only that sinner with whom you have become friends, but we would be that sinner with whom others in the church who are sanctified might be willing to spend time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.